Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Traveling Built Ford Tough studio here at Giants Camp.
All right, so what'd you think? You know, that's the Russell Wilson that I've known for since I interviewed him out in Seattle. I mean, like, he hasn't changed much at all.
No, he hasn't, and that's, you know, he's very rehearsed. He knows exactly what to say. He's never going to get himself in trouble with something that he says. I mean, the only criticism is, at least for me, and I'm not, it's not even a bad thing. I like to feel like I know
bore.
A guy a little bit more, you know, than what he gives you. It's like, that's why I asked, like, you ever get mad? Like, I can't even, there's just like this default setting with him where you almost want to like break through, but he's a really nice guy. I think he really cares about the people around him. I don't think that any of that is fake. I just think he's, you know, he's a very rehearsed individual, and he's done it the right way. He's become a sports celebrity who's made hundreds of millions of dollars, who has won a Super Bowl. The only criticism I have is sometimes I just want to be like, hey, dude, all right. You could save the whole thing.
Like, I think he is careful is how I would put it. He's the only controversial thing maybe he's ever said was the discussion that he had about never being or never getting a vote for MVP.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that one year where they were like, they started out 5-0 or 6-0 in Seattle, and he was off to a great start. It ultimately, you know, it kind of fizzled towards the end, but he was talking in the middle of the season about the MVP award.
Yeah.
And because he was off to like that great start. I look at his winning record. There's a reason, though, why, you know, Seattle tired of him, and then, of course, Denver, the whole situation there with him and Hackett, and then of course Sean Payton comes in. They bought him out.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Pittsburgh for 1 year, gets him to the playoffs, but then all of a sudden they're looking for a new quarterback. So there's something there that is somewhat negative, no question. But when I look at what the Giants need and the kind of thing that I think Brian Daboll is looking for at the moment is a guy that's going to be careful, that's not going to turn the ball over, that's been through every situation. And I think the way he thinks as a quarterback, especially now late in his career, is get me to the fourth quarter within a touchdown.
Yeah.
Either with the lead or behind it, and I can do that. I can get you to the point where we're going to have a chance to win the game. It may not be all that exciting. I don't expect him to throw 50 times a game. I really don't. I think they're going to try to, you know, they're going to run, they're going to play action, they're going to get him out of the pocket. They're not going to ask him to run too much with the ball, and they're going to try to force feed Malik Nabers as much as they can.
You know, I was hoping he'd give me something when I asked him, is there a perception of you that you have to fight when you join a new team? Because
that was a good question.
But he wouldn't bite on it. You know, it's just like, I'm just trying to be myself, you know.
But that's it. That's right. The thing.
Yeah, well, that is the perception, I guess.
Right, plus he also has the whole, you know, Ciara, his beautiful wife, is a true, you know,
superstar
in her own right. So he ends up getting dragged in, well, not dragged, but he ends up finding himself in those situations as well. So he's always buttoned up. He's always dressed well. He always looks good. He never embarrasses anybody. But you just wonder whether or not there's a genuineness there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to compare the two interviews, like Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, one of the things that Jameis said that he really appreciates about this area is everybody is genuine. Everybody tells you how they really feel.
And they're direct.
Right, and they're direct. And that's the opposite of what Russell Wilson is. So I think someone like me, you, and our listening audience that grew up in this area, you know, a guy like him is a little bit oil and water for us just from his personality standpoint. But, like, he's going to work his ass off. He's going to be a professional. He's not going to do, as you said, nothing to embarrass himself or the organization. He's going to try to win. Like, all of those things, he's going to be a leader. So like if that little piece of his personality that is maybe doesn't jive with everybody is the worst thing that goes on with him, then that's great.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is that he does follow a little bit in the mold of both Eli and Daniel Jones. I mean, Eli was a little bit funny with us towards the end of his career, but Daniel was always very careful.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that... Like, I think that Russell Wilson has more behind that curtain that's interesting than he lets us on. I don't think Daniel has anything interesting behind that curtain. I think he just is what he is. Like, what you see is what you get. And I think Eli certainly had more interesting stuff, you know, funnier and everything that you see now.
And he also had two Super Bowls in his pocket.
Exactly, which makes everybody love him that's a Giants fan for the rest of his life. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the more interesting quarterback rooms we've had here locally maybe ever. If you think about Super Bowl winning quarterback Russell Wilson, former number one pick, who's one of the biggest personalities at the position as a backup, and then the guy that everybody hopes and expects to be your future at the position that you drafted, and then a local fan favorite yes. in Tommy DeVito, who is basically, you know, came up out of the ground of this area and is as organic to New York and New Jersey as you could possibly be.
So it's interesting talking to Phil Simms last Friday, you know, this whole thing, not only is it a quarterback-driven league, as Ben Johnson continues to say out in Chicago, and he should say it because he got the job because of what he did with Jared Goff and that offense in Detroit, and now he's got to try to unlock Caleb Williams. But the other part of these great teams in the league are their offensive and defensive lines. And you can see how Russell mentioned that defensive line. And so they're seeing things on the practice field from that defensive line that obviously is standing out. And Phil said the same thing. He goes, you know, it's going to come down to these two offensive and defensive line combination. And right now, if Andrew Thomas is healthy, you know, he goes, I would say, I think he said a top 10 pairing. I don't think he was going to go like top 5 pairing. Like, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles have got, you know, the best defensive line and best offensive line combination in football. Maybe the Lions will be there if Aiden Hutchinson is 100%, although they are saying that he looks great in training camp right now. So if the Giants have that, that makes them just significantly better than they have been the last 3 years.
And speaking of that defensive line, we're going to talk to one of the best who does it, and that's Dexter Lawrence coming up next.
Hi. Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boomer and Geo live from Giants training camp, Quest Diagnostics Training Center. And we are sitting next to one of the best players in the NFL, one of the best Giants of the last number of years, one of the guys I have, honestly, the most respect for on this roster, and that is Dexter Lawrence. Dexter, good morning. How are you?
How
are
you doing? I'm good.
We're doing great. And, you know, things haven't gone exactly you wanted the way you wanted to with wins and losses, but you've just been the dominating force year in and year out. You don't seem to come off all that frustrated, but deep down, with the way you play versus the wins and losses, does it wear on you a little bit?
I wouldn't say it wear on me. Obviously, I want to win, and that's the ultimate goal, is to win. But, you know, it's the process. And right now, we're in the beginning of this new season, starting this process over, and you never know how it's going to go, so you just do all you can in the beginning to, you know, set yourself up to where you want to be.
You know, you came from a winning program at Clemson. Dabo Swinney, your coach, Trevor Lawrence, your quarterback. You guys won a ton of games there. And unfortunately, that has not been the case here at the Giants, as Gio has been pointing out. But I will say, there seems to be a little bit more energy around this team this year. I don't know if it's the quarterback situation, but Abdul Carter, one of your defensive line mates, now is showing, and I see all these little Instagram snippets of some of the things he's doing on the field, which are ridiculous.
Yeah.
How excited are you, number one, to have him, and how important is it going to be for you guys to be the leaders of the team this year?
To start, D-line always leads the team. No matter what.
Let's ease with that. Well, that's a good way for you to think, yes.
Yeah, right. But You know, adding someone like Abdul, who's just, you know, instinctively gifted and, you know, knows how to play the game of football pretty well. And, you know, he takes it serious. And that's what you want to see is he's football first. And having a guy like that is going to bring the D-line to the next level. And I think that's what we need. And I think he's keep showing up in practice and keep training through this training camp process and enjoying that process. I think is nowhere that we can't go.
Is this training camp different a little bit different? Has Brian Daboll been a little bit more demanding? Is it more competitive? Is it different than the last 3 years that you've been here?
I take the years for as it is, and this year I think he's come in and he challenged us more. And you know, he's demanding a little more each and every day, and because he knows what it takes, and we all got to buy into the coaching and buy into the team and each other so we can go wherever we want
to
go.
Talking to Dexter Lawrence, there to me, the biggest compliment that I could give an NFL player is that when I'm watching you, you make it look easy when it's far from easy. And there's two guys, defensive tackles, that I've watched mm-hmm. in the last decade that make it look easy at times, you and Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. When did it click for you when you're like, because you line up against someone, you're winning that battle 99% of the time.
Yeah.
At what point did you click and you were like, all right, like, I'm the man now?
It was just, I think more than a click, it was just, it was the process from my rookie year type of thing. Every year I wanted to grow and get better and learn and figure out why I'm doing something or why I got to do it this way. You know what I'm saying? So I think once my mind kind of shifted to, you know, understanding my position and honing in on my craft and thinking, just taking my time and think through whatever I'm doing, that's when my game started taking that next step. And I think it's always, I say, chase that feeling. So once you feel it, try to chase it again, wherever that feeling was of winning, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the steps have been and, you know, the process has been.
You know, most people love quarterbacks and they love wide receivers. They got all their jerseys and everything. You got one of the best-selling jerseys by Giant fans by far. I mean, that's how much Giant fans love you and appreciate you. Gio's favorite player of all time is a guy by the name of John Randall, the maniac from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Was at three technique, which is the same position that you play. I interviewed him the other day and I asked him, I said, what's it like always being double teamed?
Mm-hmm.
Because I would imagine that opposing offenses are trying to find out where you are lined up. You're not always lined up in the same spot and you get double teamed quite a bit, whether it be a run or whether it be pass protection. How frustrating is that?
It's very frustrating. Then they start making up schemes to, you know, double team you when they're not supposed to.
Right, yes, exactly.
But it's part of the process. I mean, the game. Like, and Coach Dre has, you know, got my mind right for it each and every year that more and more double teams are coming. It's just the process, and you got to keep fighting through those processes and don't grow weary of, you know, you getting stuck on this play. Like, keep battling and learning how to split it and, you know, manipulating things and, you know, putting yourself in different positions, like you said, like playing across the whole line to, you know,
try to free yourself up a little bit. You know, the interesting thing is that it's not just about bull rushing or swimming or spin moves and all that stuff for a guy like you, because you're internally.
Right.
But there's a lot of ETs and TEs, the stunts that you work with your defensive ends with.
Yeah.
I'm saying a year with Brian Burns, does that help? I mean, like, you understand what kind of player he is now?
Yeah. So, and the challenge goes to him, you know, is we're not going to see a lot of passes. We know that. We're going to see a lot of hard counts, play actions, you know, things like that. So playing more physical in the pass game necessarily to, you know, take that next step and make plays that we wasn't making last year.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of offensive linemen who have sleepless nights when they're about to play the Giants and have to block you. Is there a reversal of that? Is there a guy in the league that you're like, man, like, this guy sometimes gets the best of me occasionally? Is there anybody in the league?
Nah, nobody keeps me up.
I was hoping for that answer.
Well, I mean, listen, when you're one of the best, that's the way you should be feeling, you know. And I'm thinking about your schedule. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I know you're not immune to that. Everybody knows what it is, you know, that you start in Washington, then you go to Dallas. Yeah. And right out of the gate, 2 weeks in, we're going to know who the Giants are. Give me your thoughts on your schedule and the beginning of the season.
It's just starting fast. Like you say, we played the Commanders' first game, so you know, through training camp, you preparing for that first game, and you got to start fast. Start fast when you come on to practice. Start fast in the first quarter of the game. Just jump on top and, you know, be confident in yourself and the team and the work we done put in, and, you know, and this only can go wherever we want to take it.
What's it like playing against Jaden Daniels?
he a little slippery. You know, that's some guy. That's a guy you gotta, you know, you game plan for him, and you gotta take it serious when you're going against a rookie. Though last year he was a rookie, you had to take it serious, and now he's, you know, got a little more experience, got some more knowledge, and we gotta go out there and attack him, and don't be just be prepared for whatever, because, you know, he's another one of the special guys.
You know, the one thing is Abdul Carter is fast.
Right.
He is speedy.
Not and as fast as me, but.
maybe in terms of height and weight, I think when you look at it that way, I could understand that. But I feel like your defensive line is more athletic than it has been since you got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's just to keep building on that. You got to keep building on, I think, like that's like me, the D-line leads, and that's, and the guys up front got to be good leaders and good examples of leadership and work ethic.
Who's the leader on D? I know you're a great player, but that doesn't mean that you really want to be the vocal one. Right. I mean, like, you know, Ray Lewis wanted to be the vocal one. He was the vocal one. He never shut up during a game, and he was yelling at his guys. Is there somebody that has that personality on the Giant defense?
I'd say Bobby Okereke. You know, I respect my middle backers, and you know, he's a guy that leads all the time, that uses his words, that's, you know, comfortable in that position. And I say myself, and I lead a lot as well. And it's just subtle things, maybe just a couple words to you or whatever. It's just different ways of, you know, communicating to people, and that's what you got to be.
I've seen a lot of NFL film stuff with you, and you are just funny as hell when you're, like, busting the balls of the offensive linemen and stuff. I mean, do you do any research on those guys, like, beforehand to start ribbing them, or is it all natural?
It's all natural, honestly. Yeah. It's all natural. Whatever comes, I try to keep it PG.
Yeah.
but whatever comes in my head is coming out.
I got to believe you and the Philadelphia Eagles have got to just be going at each other constantly, as good as they are on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Are they the best offensive line that you guys see?
Last year I would say so, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they seem to be really tied in well together. They work well together. Yeah. They're able to replace, you know, all-stars, all-pros at both left tackle and also at center. And I would think that, you know, that's still going to be ultimately that they're going to be the standard bearers when it comes to offensive lines. Them, I guess, I think in the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, yeah, and, you know, and that's all in our
or the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions, for that matter.
All in our division. So, like you said, like, we got to start this process now of preparing for the whole year. And, you know, when the year comes, you take it week by week. But right now is where you get your dog days in, and you grind, and you sweat, and you bleed with each other.
You like the nickname Sexy Dexy, because that's what he calls you?
Oh, yeah, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Okay. It's fitting.
Yeah, I mean,
I asked him if he was going to call you that.
Oh, it's just when he's sitting here, it's weird.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know, I like saying it when he's not sitting next to me.
I know, but you legitimately love this guy.
I do. I mean,
is it with you and defensive tackles?
I don't know. I mean, I played very sparingly in high school, and I understand how hard it is. And it's just like, I don't know. And I got to, when I was in Pittsburgh, I got to watch Aaron Donald in college and him dominate. Mm-hmm. And just seeing him, it's just like the respect of just manhandling people. And then constantly, and on a team that's, you know, had a lot of losses is really what it comes down to. And
I was going to say, Gio was an offensive lineman in a high school out here in Long Island.
Okay.
He was a guard. He'd be like one of the guys you would be going against.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Yeah, no, oh, goodness is right. But, yeah.
You want to bull rush him right here?
No, it's okay. No. I don't want him to get hurt, you know? I mean, we don't need Dexter Lawrence getting hurt.
I mean, you steamrolled Sean Marash, one of our coworkers.
I did.
I mean, he pancaked him.
I did pancake him. But, you know, I know it's all about winning in the Giants and the Super Bowl, but, I mean, you are on – it sounds like I'm kissing your ass too much here, but you are on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Is that something that's on your mind if you put together a couple more years here that you're going to put on that jacket?
For sure. And I think that's the ultimate compliment. And, you know, as these years been going, like, that's the next step. You know, the next steps are, you know, keep building and whatever your next goal is. And the next goal is, you know, keep being consistent enough and, you know, doing what you do to be a Hall of Famer. And that's my ultimate goal.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, you are right there, and I can't even imagine being someone watching film going like, all right, I got to stop that guy this week. Like,
that's why it takes two.
Yeah. That's why it takes two.
The center never wants to be one-on-one, do they? The center always wants a little help.
Yeah, they bring a little running back, too.
Last one for you before we go, because we had Russell Wilson here, and I was asking him, I was like, do you ever get angry? Like, because you never seem like you ever get angry. Mm-hmm. And like, we talk about the personality of him when he's talking to the media as opposed to what he is in the locker room. Is there a Russell Wilson that we don't know that's in the locker room, or is that in the
whole time? I haven't seen the angry Russell Wilson yet.
You haven't seen it yet? Yeah. I mean, I can't even picture it. Like him going, gosh darn it. Yeah.
Like, you know what? He is going to be straight. You saw the cross around his neck.
Yeah.
You know where his heart lies.
Yeah.
And he is just going to be level. And I think that's what the Giants really want here out of their starting quarterback, at least now. Yeah. They want a guy that's been there, done it, it's been experienced, and is not going to be making mistakes. It's not going to be turning the ball over and not fumbling it and putting the defense in a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And conversely, on the other side of the defense, this defensive line now is built up. And that should help your secondary.
Yep.
I mean, you guys are tied in. More pressure, more tip balls, all sorts of things can happen. Because one thing you did 2 years ago, you got turnovers. Last year, not so much. Mm-hmm. I would think that you'd be working on trying to force as many turnovers as you can here in training camp.
And that's the emphasis. Just, like you said, just forcing turnovers, taking the ball, punching at the ball whenever you get a chance, playing the ball in the air, being aggressive playing the ball. So, like you said, the turnovers was a issue, and we plan on getting more, honestly.
So, we've been here a number of years. It's the first time we had a chance to interview you. It's really been a pleasure, and all the best this season. Keep kicking ass, and let's get some more wins this year, huh?
Thank you, man.
All right, Dexter Lawrence.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network live from Giants camp this morning. And with us right now is head coach Brian Daboll. Brian, good morning. How are you? Good
morning, Geo. How you good? How you guys doing?
We are doing great. And this is definitely a different feel here than the last couple of years, of course, with an influx of different personalities. We already had two new guys on, and Russ and Jameis. So, you know, having those guys in, you being the offensive guru that you are and working with these vets, how's that been going so far?
Good, yeah. It's been a good addition, both those guys, and I would say a number of other guys that we've had, Holland and Debo and some of the rookies. So every year is a new year. You know, you can talk all you want about it, but we got to go out there and do it. And these guys have been working good. I think we added some new good leaders to the team, particularly in the quarterback room, and that helps Jackson. And you know, Tommy's been here for a while, so it's been a good start.
You know, it's year four for you, Brian, and it hasn't gone well offensively, and we all know why, whether it be injuries or just not a good roster. But now I feel like you and Joe Shane have been able to build a little bit more of your roster the way that you want it to look. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I make no excuses. Hasn't been good enough, but certainly the pieces that we've added, we're excited about. These guys have done a good job. I'm looking forward to, you know, we got 38 days till the start of the season. Got about 25 more practices, so we got a lot of work to do. But I do like the people that we have in place, and now we got to go out there and do it.
It's like Gio was saying, there's no energy. Abdul Carter, Cam Scadaboo, of course, Jackson Dart seems like the darling of camp. Malik Nabers is here. You know, Dexter Lawrence. You got some Brian Burns. I mean, you got some really good players here now. That expectations should be realistic for the Giant fan that you're going to be better than you have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, you know, that's what we're working towards, Boom. You know, we got a lot of work to do, but I do like the pieces that we have. I think we have the right kind of guys, both talent-wise and then mindset-wise. You know, we got some young guys that are very, very competitive players, guys that you just named. And some of these rookies, I'm anxious to see them in preseason games and see how they do. They've done a good job since they've been here. Again, time will tell, but, you know, can't talk too much about it. Got to go out and do it.
You're right. And Gio and I talk a lot about stability, instability. I do give Mr. Mara a lot of credit keeping you guys here. It would have been easy to change ways of doing things again. But I know that last year was a very big disappointment for him because it was the 100th season for the Giants. I your What are his expectations? What is he telling you?
Yeah, John has been great. Tish family have been outstanding. We have a very good communication, Boom. Look, we all know we got some new pieces. We look to be as competitive as we can be. John's been excellent my whole tenure here. He's an excellent owner. He's had some patience, obviously.
Yeah, that's the thing, because he didn't have patience previously. Yeah. That, you came and replaced Joe Judge after 2 years.
Yeah.
They had the whole Ben McAdoo situation, and there's a lot of stuff that's gone on here. That's why I was just wondering if you're aware of just the overall pressure that you're sitting in.
Well, I'd say, again, I can't speak on before I was here. I can just speak on the time I've been here, and the open lines of communication that we've had has been tremendous. I've been in a lot of organizations, and John is an outstanding owner. We have good conversations. Look, we all want to be better. We're all shooting to be better, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, I know what he says to you and what he says to the media could be two different things. I did not like, though, at the end of the season when he said, I better be feeling a hell of a lot better next year at this time than I am right now. And I know
I felt the same way.
And he also said, what was the other line of, I know this is an unpopular decision. And I'm like, all right. Well, and I try to put myself as a talk show host in your shoes. And if I were you, I'd be like, well, hell. Like, I'd be looking up and there's a guillotine over my head right now. And when is he going to pull the string? So, I mean, does that type of comment to the media get to you at all?
It doesn't. No, because I do have a very good relationship with ownership. Again, we talk every day.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think it's any secret. When you win 3 games, that's not good enough. So yeah. There's a lot of feelings that everyone has. And that starts with me. So I'm going to do the best job I can to get this team ready to go. And again, you can talk all you want about it, but you got to go out there and do it. And that's what we're trying to do.
I think we know Russell Wilson very well. We know Jameis Winston very well. They're on tape. We've seen them. And Russell's been a huge success in this league. When did you realize, honestly, that Jackson Dart, you wanted him as your future quarterback? When did that understanding come about?
I couldn't give you an exact date, Boom. I'd say we do an extensive amount of research throughout the draft process in every position, and we spent a lot of time with Jackson. And each kind of step that we did with him, he did really good. I liked his tape. I liked the young man. I thought he was smart, competitive. He had good workouts. We had good meetings with him. So he's done a nice job since he's been here. I think those older quarterbacks, it's important to have those guys. I mean, I just think that position, as you know more than anybody, is very hard to play. And when you have guys that are in the room that have done it, have seen it, have done different things, can bring up maybe things that a coach doesn't even bring up, I think that helps the young man. And he's very competitive. He's made a number of mistakes, and he's had a number of good plays. So, but he's one of those guys that he grinds. I like his personality. I like his moxie, his toughness, his athleticism. So happy we have him.
And he's an older quarterback just coming out of college. I mean, he's played a lot of college balls. Yeah. Played in a number of different places. What does his former head coach Lane Kiffin say about him?
Yeah, Lane loved him.
He did love him.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that I know down there that Ole Miss, or that when we go on the trip, that you talk to him, and a lot of positive reviews on Jackson. And now the most important thing is for him to get in here and learn the stuff, which he's been doing. And you understand, as you understand better than anybody, that there's going to be a fair amount of mistakes, and we got to learn from those, and try to get him as many reps as we can, while also balancing the,
right,
Russell and Jameis and Tommy. So it's been a good start for those quarterbacks. I like the room.
Talking to Brian Daboll at Giants camp, I'm going to bring you back to a video I saw of John Gruden talking to Jackson Dart in the offseason, doing his Barstool Gruden camp.
Is it going to be the clap?
Yes, it is. So
I think he's drawing about, I don't know, 5 or 6 offside penalties in training camp. So,
so he actually
and he hasn't used the clap.
Good, good. So, like, this is what I was going to have you explain to me. So, when you're coming from a system, and Gruden's like, let me see your snap count, man. And then he goes, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it was. How much of a learning curve was it when you got your hands on to say, okay, we don't do that here. This is how we do it.
It wasn't much.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
You know, I left, when I left New England to go to Alabama, I go in there and I'm with Coach Saban, I'm with all the offensive coaches, and I got a little bit of a playbook, and it's the Alabama playbook, but I'm adding some additions, and I get to the cadence area of it, and I start going through these cadences, and you know the offensive coaches are sitting in there, and I'm hard count, then another dummy hard count, then this, and Coach Mike Loxley, he's like, "Hey, Dabes, we ain't getting that here." I said, "All right, so what are we? I mean, how are we?" He goes, "So we clapped. We
so
clapped
this
that,
is
we
Mike Loxley that, like, who told you that, who's now the head coach of Force of Maryland?
Yeah, yes. yeah. So you know, Lox taught me a lot down there." You know,
Did you like that, or was that just so foreign to you that?
At first, it was foreign. I'm like, how in the hell do they get this? You know, it's loud and you know.
But it works.
It works, and then you know they can use double claps and things like that. But
wow, real complicated.
You know, that's.
But I mean, it was hilarious watching John Gruden do this with Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean, it was so funny.
And that's him. You know, when he just did that, that's you know, it's him being a little bit of a you know character. But
do you think he's going to get another shot in the NFL, Gruden?
I don't know. I like Rue.
You
know, got a good relationship with him. And
I think he should, personally.
Well, he came out yesterday or 2 days ago and said, I want to play. I want to coach
again.
Well,
we know that.
And he goes, you know, I got enough people here in this league that I've coached under me. You would think somebody would give me a job.
Right. Yeah, I know. Seriously. Well, I hope so because, I mean, I just.
He's a great personality.
Yeah, he is a great personality.
And he loves ball.
He does.
At the end of the day, he loves ball. And that goes back to all the combine meetings that you guys have with all of these players, and the most important aspect, you all know that they're great athletes. You know that they can throw. You can see them on tape. You can see what they can and they cannot do. But what you want to really find out is the person and whether or not that kid is going to see the game the way that you see it and put in the effort to be that great player. And I'm assuming that both Scadaboo, Abdul Carter, and thirdly, Jackson Dart all have that kind of gene in them.
They do, Boom. And they also have they're gritty young guys. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but they got a little moxie to them, which I like, toughness, which was something they were looking for in the draft. But, you know, I went down, and my daughter goes to Penn State, so I went to one of her sorority parents' weekends and happened to have a breakfast with Abdul to sit down and have a nice breakfast with him.
Fancy
so
to
it was
see
great
you here.
To meet, you know, Scadaboo is, you know, he's been outstanding. All his meetings, he's kind of a character too. So, but that's certainly the case when you're looking at players, you know, see if they're a good fit.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask about Abdul Carter and some of the things. Is there somebody that you can compare him to that the fans out there could say, hey, maybe he can be this type of guy because he has this type of ability right now that we're seeing?
Yeah, I don't want to put that on him, but he does have good ability. He can bend. He can rush. He can play multiple spots. You know, he played off-the-line linebacker before he changed and went to defensive end with Coach Franklin there at Penn State. Smart. We've used him in a variety of ways, you know, in OTAs and in the start of you know, training camp.
So it's kind of like Micah Parsons for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't want to go there, but
he can do multiple things.
We can use him in multiple roles. We got to make sure we're not overloading him and let him, you know, show his talents when he goes out there. But you know, happy we have him. He's hard to block.
the foot thing that he was dealing with in the draft. You were fully confident in that whole deal. I'm just curious when you. Like the information with injuries when you're going through the draft process, do you get everything you absolutely need to make a decision?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
You get a lot of information. You got to kind of weed through it and make sure you're trying to make the proper decision. You know, there's a lot of doctors and input and all this stuff. You're getting a ton of information from a lot of different people and trying to make the best decision you can.
Yeah, I mean, those war room situations, I can't even imagine. Now, it's more Joe Shane and the scouts and everything, but obviously you have huge input. You're probably not going to give me an answer to this, but I'll do it anyway. Is there a guy that you would push for more than anybody that you didn't get and then you were angry about?
No, and I've learned this a long time ago when the draft process comes along, particularly when I was a younger coach. A position coach that you go and you kind of fall in love with certain guys and then they don't get taken. And, you know, once we have the player, you're all on board. You don't know how the draft process is ever going to go. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. My daughter at Penn State, so her boyfriend just got drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals this year.
Oh, nice.
So it was kind of the other end of it for me. He's calling me asking for advice, how he deals with teams and people, and just to see the anxiety of some of these kids that when they're getting ready for this process, it kind of flipped for me the other way, just having a better understanding when you're going through it with someone that you know that's dealing with that.
Two players that I want to ask you about in particular, one on offense, one on defense, high draft choices, disappointing, Evan Neal and Deontay Banks. This has got to be bounce back years. You guys decided to move Evan Neal inside to guard. You know, I listened to his conversation yesterday. He was interviewed talking about the motivation and being, you know, ready to go and understanding that this could be it for him if he doesn't get it right. What do you see from those two players in particular and their roles on this football team going forward?
Okay, I'll start with Evan. He's been a true pro. You know, when we approached him about, you know, possibly moving into guard, you know, he was all about the team. He understood, and he's hit it head on. He's done a nice job. He's a big man. He gets a lot of movement in there. As you know, things happen a little bit quicker inside, mentally, if you will, with different games, and you're just not on an island like you are a tackle. And he's been doing a nice job. We've given him a fair amount of reps. He's gotten reps with the ones. He's gotten reps with the twos. His mindset's in the right spot. He's done that at Alabama. I'm encouraged with him and his progress that he's made inside. And, you know, this preseason will be big for him as well. And Banks too. You know, Banks has been competing out here, you know, played a lot of man when he was here. And then we mixed the zone. We're doing a little bit of both. And I think he's had a good camp for himself too. So there's, you know, competition, you know, brings that the best of you. And he's made steady strides.
You know, it's interesting. Brian Baldinger did a whole thing on Evan Neal last year about how much time he spent on the ground during a football game. And Gio and I actually did the radio broadcast with Phil Simms when you guys played the Eagles here, and Azudu had a really hard time with what was going on in the field that day, and that was a really rough day for your offensive line. Is Evan Neal aware of those things? I'm assuming that he is.
Yeah, I think, look, it's the coach's job to show guys, hey, here's what you're doing well, and here's the things that you can improve on, and you know, here's what we can do to try to help you improve on, and here's what you need to do. So it takes all of us. And he's done a nice job inside. It's a little bit different, not as much space. You're a little bit more condensed. You got a border with you. And I've been encouraged with his progress throughout camp.
If you could be stuck in an elevator with either Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, who would it be?
I'm not answering that. but that's a good try, Gio.
What about if you go on vacation?
Here we go. Here we go.
I think Jameis would be a lot more fun on vacation.
No, I mean, I don't even think you could give like a controversial answer. Like, I feel like Russell Wilson would probably be better to be stuck in the elevator with, because he would find like a solution to get out, where Jameis would just be like, this is awesome. You know, like vacation, Jameis would be more fun.
You know, yes, I think so.
They both have their own personalities. The room is, you know, you'd think that, you know, Jameis is pretty serious once we get into the room. I mean, he has, you know, he's done this a long time. He's pretty locked in. And
yeah.
You see him say some of the other things that he says and the character that he is. He's a good young man. He's fun to be around. And as is Russ. Russ is pretty serious most of the time. He's got his process down of how he's done things. And it's been a good mix. And they have a relationship with one another. It goes back to, you know,
yeah, no,
13,
I
think.
I may want to take that back. I may want to go with Russell because he probably has a yacht in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, true.
And you're more in that celebrity world, and you can hang out and hobnobbing with all these billionaires.
Yeah, it sounds elitist, Boomer.
Sounds elitist. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Jameis were just like drinking land sharks at whatever bar we just land at. You know, that's what we'd be doing. I asked Russell this. I asked Dexter this. I asked Russell, do you ever get mad? And he's like, yeah, sometimes. And Dexter said, I've never seen the mad Russell Wilson. Have you seen in camp the mad Russell Wilson?
No, he's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And I'll do different things to try to get on him a little bit here, whether that be in a meeting in front of a lot of people or out in practice. And, you know, he's got his process and his, you know, and he sticks to it. And that's why he's been successful for as many years as he has. But
there has to be a struggle, though, with a quarterback learning a new system, verbiage, formations, the way you call plays, the way that Mike Kafka sends in the plays.
Sure.
I mean, do you notice any like stunting of growth in that terms?
No, I think it's always refreshing when you add veteran quarterbacks and even some of the young guys. What I try to do is make sure we go back and really study their tape too, to see what they do well and get input from them. It's like, you know, you're out there and you've played for as long as you played, and then you come to sit in the quarterback meeting with him. I'm going to ask you, Boom, like, what do you like? What do you really fall back on when you need it? And if we don't have it, we're gonna try to put it in. And if there's certain words that, you know, it's stuck with you, or a cadence,
yes,
you know, like the cadence is important, right? So if you felt comfortable doing it for 10 years one way, you know, we can go ahead and switch that so you feel comfortable. I think it's most important that player, that quarterback, is most comfortable because he drives the ship. So there's been tweaks and adjustments based on conversations we've had with Russ, Jameis, even Jackson, to some of the stuff that he's done, and you try to develop a scheme suitable for those quarterbacks.
You know, it's amazing. We're going into your fourth year, and your first shining moment was in Tennessee when Daniel Jones threw that interception, you lost your mind. And I remember how you were trying to hold him accountable. Are you able to do that with the older quarterbacks as well?
Yeah, that's my job. So there's a standard of performance. There's a level of expectation that we all have, and I place that on myself first and foremost. Every year is a new year, but everybody has a job to do. We got to try to do it the best job we can, and that's my job as being a head coach, is making sure that there's a standard and there's an expectation, and you're holding everybody accountable, whether it's the starting quarterback, starting defensive lineman, rookie, treat them all the same. Relative to standards of expectation.
In a perfect world, does Jackson Dart see any time on the field today? This year.
Today, yeah.
This year during the season.
Yeah, I'd say we'll take it one game at a time, one practice at a time, and hopefully.
That's Boomer's mantra.
Yeah,
one day at a time, one practice at a time.
It's a good
mantra.
Well,
it's a very simple mantra. You did have Josh Allen, and you threw that kid out there, but then again.
Well, we didn't at first, and then we.
Ultimately said you got to put him in there.
And then you could see some of the talent that he had, and then he got injured against Houston, hurt his elbow, sat out, and then really I would say the last 6 weeks of the season, that first year really came on.
Who was the quarterback before him?
Nate Peterman.
Yeah. I don't want to laugh because Nate was a pro.
Like good pro, and a half or something.
Good pro, good young man.
Yes.
Good guy. He's got a family.
Gio, why?
This is what I got to deal with.
This
man,
is what I'm we do. You. This is what happens. I'm sorry. It's all
okay. So
he's the one who cackled.
Are you going on this
golf trip?
Golf trip with him?
You know what? This is like the biggest thing in his life.
I hope so. That's what I hear.
Courtesy
of Billy Finnerty. I got to throw his name out there.
Yes. Yeah. Billy, who is a P1 listener. This guy listens all the time, which is awesome. I don't know. I think we got Boomer on board. I think we have half of the management on board.
Yes.
I mean, will you be devastated if he says no?
Yes, I will be. Yeah, because it's not – I don't every day get a chance to be a national champion, Brian. And I'm a New York champion. We are the New York leg champion of the Golf Digest Open. And to – like I said, it's almost as if Boomer, when he won the AFC championship with the Bengals, decided not to go to the Super Bowl. And –
That's what you're equating that to.
Yes,
that's what he's equating it to.
So, I mean, think about that.
And I've had
Sam Weiss was like, I don't think we need to go.
I have like 24 years more of experience than he has. I'm a little bit older than he is. And, he's trying to drag me down. It's the opening weekend of the NFL season.
Trying to drag him down a stream song with Core Crenshaw, a beautiful place.
Yes.
I mean, 100 golf courts. I'm dragging you there.
Yeah, but I'm taking these guys to Pebble Beach next week.
Okay, no, Scratch is taking us to Pebble Beach.
Would you rather go to Pebble Beach or play in this tournament?
Both.
You can only do one. Which
Pebble?
One?
Pebble would be the place, of course.
Well, he's taking you to Pebble.
So he's not taking it. Scratch is taking us to Pebble. He wants to take credit for it.
Well, it all started with me wanting to take you guys to Pebble and trying to make a dream come true for the both of you guys.
Well, anyway, I hope.
And then Scratch picked up on it.
Yes, they certainly
and
did.
And I love the fact that they picked up on it.
But if we do go down there, I'm going to call you that morning.
Can you stream it? Watch it or not?
I don't think so.
I think Brian.
How would you do under pressure if people were watching?
Oh, great! I played with Barstool.
Yes.
We played a match with YouTube, and played.
You did well.
Yeah, we lost the match, but we did not embarrass ourselves. Like, we played okay with cameras. I'm actually better with cameras than without cameras, which is weird.
Why on the radio then?
Well, we're on TV too.
Oh, yeah,
we're
there you
these
go.
Things.
Okay. Okay.
Listen, we love talking to you.
Appreciate
every
you
year,
guys.
And best of luck.
Thanks
you know
for coming out.
We know that people say you like when the Giants lose and the Jets lose because you can play. No, we don't. We want to see these teams win. We want to see you guys back in the playoffs, and hopefully, it happens this year.
Y'all got a job to do. We understand that,
Coach.
Appreciate you guys,
Coach. Great to see you again. Good luck.
Appreciate you guys. Good luck,
Coach Brian Daboll.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.